Your Bible, I want you to turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews, chapter number 4. Again, I thank the Lord for the choir singing, and I appreciate these specials tonight. The Bible talks about God giving a song in the night seasons. And I am grateful for those times that He does. It has been my honor to be here last night and tonight. I certainly appreciate God's men. And appreciate Brother Ryan Beckham, preacher in our church, rode with me tonight. And we had some good fellowship coming down the road.
Amen.
Just talking about the good things of the Lord.
Amen.
If you're willing and able, would you stand tonight? We'll begin at verse number 14 again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Did you know it would help all of us to quit looking in certain directions and go to looking toward Jesus? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I am certainly thankful that He knows what I feel. He is aware of what I face. For He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Now tonight, there may be an English teacher in here. I don't know. But it is a no-no in English to ever use two negatives in a statement. It's just not to be done. But Paul in this verse uses two negatives. I wasn't good at English, but I did learn a lot in math. And two negatives always make a positive. Writers would use negatives to put an emphasis on what they were saying. He said, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." He is not saying that our high priest doesn't know how we feel. Rather, He is saying the very opposite. He is making an emphasis on the fact He does know what we feel and He knows what we face. And because of that, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Not a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace. That we might obtain mercy. You know why we need mercy? We're all sinners. We falter, we fail, we come short every day that we live. But I'm glad that we can come with confidence and honesty before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. And find grace to help in time of need. Brother Ryan, would you pray for us tonight?
Lord, we're so thankful to be able to come and meet with your people tonight.
Yes.
God, thank you for the cross and the blood you shed, God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving us.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Help us tonight. Oh, God, do. Help me. Yes. Oh, God, help your people tonight. You can be seated tonight. I want to continue our emphasis on help in time of need. And I just want to preface all of that by saying that God is not hand-tied to one channel to help you and me in our time of need. There are several sources, several channels through which the help of God arrives to you and I in our time of need. I don't know where you're at tonight. You may be overwhelmed by this world. You may be under the load, a heavy load that no one else knows about. But I am here to tell you that there is help to be found for your life. Sometimes in our text here tonight, the Lord will help His children through supplication, through prayer. The text invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He is putting an emphasis on prayer and supplication. Oh, how many times have we taken our heavy hearts and our loads that we carry and bowed before the Lord in an altar, bowed at the house, called on His name, and God sent help for our life. He not only uses supplication, but I am thankful that God will use the Scriptures to help us in our time of need. Have you ever been uncertain about the direction for your life? Have you ever lived without assurance in your heart? Well, I'm here to tell you the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, will shine the light on the direction you and I need to take. The Word of God will give us blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Thank God for His Word. It may have come through the preaching from the pulpit on a Sunday morning or in a camp meeting service. It might come in your daily reading of the Word of God, but the Holy Ghost can take the Word and speak peace and give us direction for our lives. Sometimes God will work through the sanctuary to give us the needed help for our life. You remember Psalm 73. There's a psalmist by the name of Asaph. He was the choir director for David's choir in the tabernacle. And Asaph got his eyes on the prosperity of the wicked, he got all messed up. He thought it wasn't worth serving the Lord. He almost hung up his place of service. He almost laid his song aside. But in verse 17 of Psalm 73, he said, "Until I went into the sanctuary." When Asaph got to the house of God, he realized all that he had thought about the wicked was foolish. He understood that the wicked would give an account of their sinfulness and their unrighteousness. It was in the house of God that his eyes were open. How many times have we come to church and God gives us help for our life? We can't hardly walk in, but when we get ready to leave, there's a spring in our walk, and there's a determination in our soul to keep serving the Lord. Bless His name. Sometimes the Savior brings help. He doesn't send an angel. He doesn't send a person. He just comes and helps us Himself. As I said last night, when He does it that way, there is no argument about who done what. All the glory goes to God and God alone. Thank God for the times when the Savior has intervened and interposed in my life. There have been times when I did not know danger lay ahead, but I'm glad I had a Savior directing traffic and keeping me safe from harm and danger. F.B. Meyer said, when we get to heaven, we're probably going to praise God more for the things the Lord done for us that we did not know He had done in our life. Aren't you glad we have a Savior who helps us in our time of need? But for a few minutes tonight, my emphasis in this sermon is to tell you that sometimes God will help you in your need through singing. through a song. It's happened in my life so many times. How many of you have been riding down the road listening to the radio, and all of a sudden that song comes on? God lifts your spirits. He puts a strength and determination in your heart once again. I remember my son, Jordan. He went to Wingate University, graduated with a music degree. There was a day when he was very discouraged during school, wondered if God was anywhere around. And he said, "Dad, I asked the Lord to let me hear a song sung by the Burns Trio. And the song, I believe, is I Won't Go Over Jordan Alone." And there was a gospel station down there, but they played, they didn't play that kind of music very often. But he said, in the car, I said, "God, just so I'll know that you're here, could you have them to sing that song?" He said, "I turned the radio on, and the announcer said, 'We're going to listen to the Burns Trio sing, I'll Go Over Jordan Someday.'" And that song lifted his spirit. I'm glad God can use singing to help us in our time of need. Did you know that singing has been part of the church and God's people early on? Miriam led the children of Israel down by the Red Sea singing the song of redemption. God's people have been singing ever since. David said, "He hath brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, and put a song in my mouth, even praise unto God." Tonight, the church has always been singing. In fact, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, speaks of singing in connection of being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." When he wrote to the Colossians, Paul connected singing with the Word of God dwelling richly in our heart. He said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Tonight the church has always sung, and sometimes God will use a song to help us in our time of need. You say, are you saying it's more important than other things? Oh, no. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the house of God. Thank God for those things. I'm just telling you, God's not hand-tied. He can use different channels to send to me what I need. Did you know singing was so important to God at the birth of His Son that God surrounded the birth of His Son with six different songs? You go read it in the book of Luke. The first song is the song of the Evangel. They call it the Evangel. The angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That is a song. There is the song Gloria, when the heavenly hosts joined in a few moments and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." That's a song. And tonight I realize there is the song of beatitude sung by Elizabeth. When Mary was conceived with a child, she went to the hill country of Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth greeted Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And you know what Elizabeth said? Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She was singing a song. Mary broke out in the Magnificat. In the following verses, she glorified God and honored her Lord. When John was born, John the Baptist, Zacharias got his voice back, and he sang about the day star shining, the coming of the Lord. Oh, tonight. And then when the Savior was taken to the temple, Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Lord, let me now depart according to thy word." You prepared him before the face of all people to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I want to tell you, if God sung six songs around the coming of his son, we ought to be able to sing to the glory of his name. Three simple things and I'm done. Singing will always exalt the Savior. I didn't hear a song tonight sung that bragged on themselves. Not one that was sung tonight was giving praise or drawing attention to themselves. No, because singing the kind of songs you and I sing, we want to magnify his name. We want to praise him, as she sang about. We want to worship him because he has saved us by his grace. Did you know singing will celebrate the Lord's character? We exalt his holiness when we sing the song, "Holy, holy, holy." We exalt his grace every time we sing "Amazing Grace." We exalt his love every time we sing "Love Lifted Me." It exalts God's character. He is holy. He is gracious. And I'm glad he is love tonight. We celebrate his cross when we sing. The power of his cross is glorified when we sing, "At the cross, at the cross, and did my Savior die?" We exalt the cleansing power of the cross when we sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." We exalt the glory of the cross when we sing, "Glory to his name." Oh, tonight, A singing will celebrate his capability. His power to save is magnified when we sing, saved by the blood of the crucified one. His eternal salvation is lifted up when we sing, I'm saved to the uttermost. The power that he has to deliver us from sin and take us to heaven is magnified by the song he'll hold my hand, and he will roll me over the tide. We've got a song to sing. Singing will exalt the Savior. Singing will edify the saints. The word edify means to benefit, to improve, or to enrich. It is the kind of singing that nurtures and encourages and uplifts God's people. You'll find in the Bible that singing edified the warrior in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 22. Jehoshaphat said, we're going to do things different today. We're going to go face our enemy, and it's not going to be our infantry on the front line. He said, choir, I want you to assemble and walk in front of our army and sing the songs of Zion. And they sang the song of Zion there, and it discomfited their enemy, and God gave them a mighty victory. It encouraged the warrior to fight on. They saw the intervention of their God against their adversaries. Oh, aren't you glad we have a Savior that can interpose on our behalf? Well, I want to move to the last point. Singing will encourage the suffering. Singing will encourage the suffering. It's been several months ago, a pastor that I went to church with as a young Christian, who pastors over in Morganton, called my youngest son, and this pastor's choir leader had cancer. It was aggressive cancer. There was no hope for healing outside the intervention of God. But this choir leader had a request. And the pastor said to my son, he wants to know if your family can sing at his funeral. And we went just a couple of weeks ago. He passed on a Saturday afternoon. The family sang. We tried to be a blessing. And we went out to the graveside. We sang at the grave, and after we got done, the widow of this man, he wasn't but 60 years old. She came to my family and she said, for the past 2 weeks, the only singing that Kevin has listened to is to your family. He said he loved to hear y'all sing. It encouraged him. It helped him. And that's what we're supposed to do as God's people. Singing will encourage those who are abused. According to the scriptures, Paul and Silas were whipped with 39 stripes, and then they were thrown into the Philippian jail, into the inner stocks. Hands and feet were bound. And the Bible said at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas complained and murmured and grumbled and growled. No, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that they prayed and they sang praises unto God. Singing will help the suffering. Those who are abused, some of you may feel like this world has mocked you for your faith. You may feel like you're the backside of everyone's whisper. But I'm here to tell you, thank God we have a song to sing that will encourage us in those moments of time. Singing will always encourage those who are in agony. Psalm 42 says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. There will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and all thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. Hallelujah. I'm glad even when we're in the dark hours, there's a God in heaven that will cause us to remember his song. Sometimes God touches people in their heartaches and sorrows, gives them words and music to sing to encourage us. But I submit to you that sometimes it's not us doing the singing, but sometimes God himself will sing to us in our heartaches and our sorrows to encourage us, to lift us up. Oh, bless his name tonight. I close with this point. And if you would, just come on to the piano. I'm glad God encourages the suffering, those that are abused, those that are in agony. But he helps those that are alone. Have you ever felt like you were alone? There are people sitting underneath this tabernacle that can identify with that dark, cold feeling of being alone. You know what it is to walk into an empty house after a funeral of a spouse. You know that feeling of being alone. It's frightening. It really is. When there's nobody there that you can draw strength from. But in those times, God has given a song. I want to bear this testimony of a lady. Her name was Helen Keehan. She bore testimony that all of her life she was somewhat sheltered and pampered by her family. She was the youngest of five children. She had a brother and three sisters. She never knew what it was growing up to ever be alone. In fact, she never had a key to the house because she knew somebody would be there when she came home. Their family done everything together. They worked together. They sat down and ate together. They went to church together. They sang together. They worshiped together. But as time went on, Miss Helen Keehan found herself one day all alone. Her mother and father had passed. Her brother and then a sister. There were only three of them left. Three sisters. And then her two sisters die within 30 days of one another. And Miss Helen, now this is documented. This is a personal testimony. And after the funeral, Miss Helen had a niece that stayed with her about a week, but then she had to return home, and Miss Helen drove her to the train station and let her out and drove back to that big house. And when she pulled into the driveway, she sat there for the longest time because she didn't know. She didn't know how she could face that empty house. She was fearful. She was uncertain. But finally she got up enough gumption, got out of the car, walked up to the front steps, and walking up to the porch, she prayed this prayer. She said, "Lord, I need you to help me. Oh God, I'm all alone." As she pulled out her key, unlocked the door, walked into the house, turned the radio on full blast so that the sound would fill all the empty rooms. And when she started to put her coat in the wardrobe on the radio, the old-fashioned, our old-fashioned revival, our quartet, began to sing this song. "No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never leave me alone." Miss Helen said, "It's as if the voice of God spoke directly to me and said, 'Miss Helen, you'll never be alone because I'm going to be with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll be there for you.'" But God used a song to give her blessed assurance and a knowledge that she would always have him by her side. Aren't you glad tonight? We're never alone. And God done that through a song. He could have done it another way, but he chose to do it through a song. You say, "Well, that was just coincidence." I want to tell you, that was providence. That was God working in her life Amen. Let's stand tonight. I don't know where you're at, but she's going to play for us. These altars are open. Maybe you just need help for your life.